Together, study the word of Almighty God. We're going to hear a sermon now. It's entitled The Last Hour. It's funny how things change. This is going back about a year now, and we even have more evidence now that the Lord gave us, that his apostles gave us, of the signs that you would know that his return is near. So, of course, one of the greatest of them is COVID. And the vaccine, and that is the government forcing people to do something in order to buy or sell. But that's not where we're going today. The last hour, 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. That's where we're going to be. This will play today and Monday. In the meantime, this weekend, I invite you out to Island Community Church. That's the church that I pastor. I'm sure many of you know that. We're at 1000 North Banana River Drive. My sermon this week, the parable of the 10 virgins. We've been going through this series, Understanding Eschatology. And the Lord is done. And now he's gone away on a long trip, a long journey. And we're going to look at the first group of people at what they did when their master was gone. The following week, we'll look at the parable of the talents. That is, the Lord's given us something to work with. He's given us talents. And he says, do business until I return. And when he comes back, he's going to take inventory to see how we've done. In the meantime, though, the parable of the 10 virgins. That'll be this Sunday morning at 10:30. You are invited. We'd love to see you. Here and now, I think you're going to like this message. It's called The Last Hour. Little children, it is the last hour. Okay, the last hour. That's what we're looking at here today. Main scripture reference for this sermon is right in line along of where we're going here. We're in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, which you'll see on the handout. Want to say greetings, too, if you're watching along on Facebook Live or on the app. God bless you guys. For those watching in, too, in Jerusalem, God bless you. Peace of Jesus Christ be with you this morning. We're in the New Testament book of 1 John in the back of your Bibles, chapter 2. We left off last week looking at love not the world or the things that are in the world. Now we're going to go forward three verses. And look at, it is the last hour. In addition to that verse would be this verse right here I'm going to read to you. Matthew 24, 32, which reads, now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branches become tender and puts forth its leaves, you'll know that summer is near. So you too, when you see all of these things, then recognize that he is near, right at the door. I love that word, recognize. Recognize that he is near. Smell the coffee. Look all around you. Look all around you. If you can't smell the coffee, then you're smelling the world's exhaust fumes. And the Lord said, when you see all of these things, well, what things? All right. Drought, how's this list for you this morning? Drought, earthquakes, and COVID-19. That's what the Bible gave you for signs to know that his return is near. I know it seems unfathomable to us. After all this time, Jesus could come back in our lifetime. It's hard to swallow, I understand that, because we've been alive, the world's been around for so long, after all this time, to think in our lifetime. Remember what the response is going to be to most people when he comes back, Captain. He's going to come back. People are going to look up and they're going to wail. Not rejoice. Most people are going to wail because they're going to look up. They're going to look down. And they're going to see that they did what the government told them in order to buy or sell. And took a mark on their hand or on their head. And the Bible says they're going to wail. That's not going to be my response when Jesus comes back. How about you? Are you going to rejoice, Brent? Danny? Scott? Let the world wail. See, the thing is, your commission today is to get out here and infect as many people with the truth as you possibly can. That more people will rejoice when he comes back in the clouds and not wail. That's your mission. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. When you see all of these things, recognize my return is near. All right, now 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. It says, little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist, that is the first time we've seen that word in the Bible. Antichrist. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that I wonder why he said that if that word's never been in the Bible. Because different Bible writers called him different things. Paul called him the man of sin. Jesus called him the son of perdition. As you have heard, the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know it is the last hour. Now, John's the only one to call him this Antichrist. The Apostle John wrote this in around 90 AD. Now, my question to you is, and the heart of today's sermon is, what makes this statement more urgent today than it was, say, 2,000 years ago? I mean, maybe you could scoff when I say that and say it's the last hour. Please, that was 2,000 years ago. That's what I want to look at. The Holy Spirit said through John, it is the last hour. The King James says it is the last time, which unfortunately they could have chose a better word. Because the word time is the word chronos or kairos for season. But here it's the Greek word hora, where our word hour, it means the dividing of time. It means hour. Or actually the dividing of the day. So it's quite a long hour, is it not? Here's that verse again. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know it is the last hour. So he says, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know. So first off, what does the word Antichrist mean? The word Christos, as you probably know, means anointed. Anti can mean an alternative to. It can mean instead of or in place of. Like when John says in John 1:16, of his fullness we have all received. And charis, anti-charis, that is grace for grace. Grace in place of grace. In other words, once you use up all the grace that God's given you today, he'll give you more grace tomorrow. Isn't that a good thing? When you use up all the grace today that God's given you, hallelujah, rest assured tomorrow, he'll give you more grace, charis, in place of what you used up today. That's what this word means generally, in place of. So when we start to see cheap imitations starting to flourish, then the hands of this last hour clock are getting perilously close to, let's say, reaching the fullness of the Gentiles. Now back to this Antichrist spirit. Here's how you spot him today. Anytime you hear someone say or talk about another way to get to the heart of God and eternal life, know that this is the spirit of Antichrist. Okay? Let me say that again. Anytime you hear someone say or mention, there is another way, see, in place of Christ, is an antichrist, little a. The big A means there's a mother of all coming sometime soon. That's going to usher in Jesus' return. That's going to force you to do what the government says in order to buy or sell. But there's little A's all over the place. It's a spirit that infects people today, like COVID does. And the symptoms of this infection is they try to offer you another way to get to heaven other than Jesus Christ, who says, I am the way. No man comes to the Father but by me. Anything else is an antichrist. John says it's already in the world. This is how you spot one. These fishermen spot a kingfish for 100 yards, I hear him say. You can spot one of these antichrists too from just as far away. From someone that tells you there's another way to get to the heart of God other than through his son, Jesus Christ. That's the only way to get to God. And I'll say it until I'm blue in the face. And I'll never be blue in the face telling you about Jesus. Now, first off, I never answered my question I just asked. What makes this age and time any different than when they wrote this? They wrote it 2,000 years ago and says it's the last hour. Well, we're still here. What makes me saying it different than John saying it? Or Martin Luther, or Dwight L. Moody. The scoffer can look at this prophecy spoken 2,000 years ago and laugh. Here's the difference. Now, the Lord used for me the space shuttle countdown clock to teach this to me a few years back. Now, follow me here. At the ascension of Jesus Christ, the end times clock ultimately started ticking. And a preacher could legitimately say to his congregation, it is the last hour. When the apostles watched Jesus ascend up into heaven, the angel said to him, why do you stand? Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Once that happened, Jesus' ministry ended, and he was gone. That started the last hour here on planet Earth. Let's say, figuratively, 60 minutes. Now, somewhere along the way, God's countdown clock was put on pause. Maybe when the temple was destroyed. I don't know when. Only he knows. But just like the space shuttle, which got hung up at T-minus 9 minutes. See, we happen to have in the church someone that controlled the clock. Tim right here. He was the clock man. Am I right when I say 9 minutes? Verified. T-minus 9 minutes, and the rest of that saying goes, and counting. You see, the last hour on God's prophetic time clock is just like the space shuttle. That clock could say 9 minutes for who knows how long. Now, how about a little Esposito logic for you this morning? 9 minutes is never 9 minutes, but 9 minutes is exactly 9 minutes. I realize that, hey, watching preseason football, God must like football. 9 minutes. Or if I was a riddler on Batman, I'd say, riddle me this. When is 9 minutes? Not 9 minutes, but exactly 9 minutes. Answer, when your timepiece is led by the Holy Spirit. Now, as I said, once Jesus ascended up into heaven, the Apostle John can make that statement, little children, it is the last hour, because it was. But God, in his infinite wisdom, somewhere along the way, he tapped the top of that clock and hit the pause button, just like you're watching a program. This came to me last night. On demand. On demand.
You see, the problem is the last hour is available to God on demand. And that's what he does. Never 9 minutes. If you're married or if you have a dog, you know 90 minutes is not 90 minutes. Or if you like popcorn, do you follow me here? But 90 minutes is exactly 90 minutes. Or a football game. If you hear from the kitchen, honey, when's that game over so we can eat dinner? Answer is the 2-minute warning. And even worse, it's a warning. I'm warning you, there's 2 minutes left of this game. That's when you get a frying pan coming across your head. Not only did you say it was 2 minutes, you warned your spouse that there was 2 minutes left. Out comes the frying pan 20 minutes later. But I'll tell you what, that 2 minutes is 120 seconds. You can bet your sweet bippy it is. It's not a second longer or a second short. That is how you can read this and not become an atheist. Our understanding is wrong. Look around us. These funny examples help us understand what it means by this when he says it's the last hour. When Jesus was taken up into heaven and his ministry ended and we entered into the day of grace, where you can deny Jesus Christ and be forgiven of it. Once we entered into that age that we're in, this age or dispensation, Bill, of grace that we're in now, this is the last hour. And this world is on high alert. But for some reason, he's hit that pause button. Now, here's the $64,000 question. What starts God's clock again? What starts it? We're going to answer that question today because we've got the answer to that. 6 points on your handout here. Number one, Israel becoming a nation again. Number one on your blank. For those of you watching in Israel, wow, what a significant place. You live in the focal point of all time in history. It's right where you are at this morning, Jerusalem. Central to everything. The first point is Israel becoming a nation again. The scripture reference is Isaiah chapter 66, verse 8. Should be on your handout. It says this: who has ever heard of such a thing? Who has ever seen such a thing? Can a country be born in a day? Or a nation be brought forth in a moment? Yet no sooner is Zion in labor than she gives birth to her children. Now that was May 15th, 1948. And is the day that God's prophetic end times clock started ticking again. Let's put this in perspective. Is Isaiah writes this around 700 BC. Israel conquered in 586. You see, this wouldn't make sense in the year 700 because Israel was still a nation. Israel conquered 586. Israel burnt down the temple, destroyed 70 AD. As the Jews said, let his blood be on us and on our children. Then some 1880 years later, Isaiah 66:8 is fulfilled. God brushes off the dust off of his clock. Now, naturally, along with number one, number two, I think I've changed the name of this. Number two is the dry bones come to life. Dry bones. I know I want to get up and dance it too, Sailor. Maybe I will a little bit.
I talked to him, Gil.
Ezekiel chapter 37, if you'd like to turn there. Let me keep reading. Ezekiel, we got major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, then Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1. Then the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord. And he set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there was very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, Oh, Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you will live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you. I will cover you with skin, and I'll put breath on in you, and you shall live. And then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and flesh came upon them, skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain so that they may live. I'm in verse 10 now. Ezekiel 37:10. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them. And they lived, and they stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, now, you don't have to speculate who this is. God's going to tell you. These bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, Our bones are dry and our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you. You will live. I will place you into your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and performed it. Now let me tell you, from over 90 countries now, more than 3 million Jews have returned to their homeland since May 15, 1948. That's the number two sign to show you God's clock is moving again, when that prophecy was fulfilled. And that's the difference between me saying it and Martin Luther saying it. Israel had to be a nation first. Otherwise, they would have been wrong. Because every word of God is going to be fulfilled. Every prophecy is going to be fulfilled. Everything written in the Bible is going to come to pass. Everything. Okay, this takes us to point number three. Point number three is 200 million Chinese soldiers in place. 200 million Chinese soldiers in place. Revelation 9:13. Then the sixth angel sounded. I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar before God, saying to the sixth angel that had the trumpet, Release the four angels bound up at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for that hour, day, month, and year, were released to kill a third of mankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. And he says, I heard the number of them. You know, that cracks me up. I heard the number of them. He must have heard something like this. Psst, hey, John, by the way, there's 200 million of them. Why would someone say that to him? Can you imagine that? Why would God say that when the world's population wasn't 200 million? So John tells you all this, and John says, oh, by the way, I heard that there was 200 million. Why would he say that? Why would he do that? Because really, if you think about it, this might offend those that are weak in the faith. You don't want that to happen. You see, he says this to ward off all scoffers. That's what he does. No, this kingdom of heaven is going to be entered in by faith and by faith alone. You need to believe God and believe what he says. And he says all this to ward off all scoffers. All the fence sitters, when they hear this, are going to fall, and all the king's horses and all the king's men are not putting your cracked rear end back together. Believe God at his word. Period.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.